We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft. But Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink. Which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
It's time for the Mountaineer Insider Podcast. Get insight into your favorite West Virginia University teams and hear exclusive interviews. The Mountaineer Insider Podcast. Have a question or comment? Call or text us at 304-314-4161 or email us at wvumsn@gmail.com. Now let's go live inside our MSN studios. Here's your host of the Mountaineer Insider, Dan Zangrilli.
Yeah. Formation with a flanker left and the inside handoff. No, it's a fake by Harris. He's back deep, rolling to the right, throwing back to the left. Wide open, the ball is caught for the touchdown. That's Reggie River way down at the end line. What a fake by Harris. Harris fakes to the fullback, Aaron Evans. Comes back, rolls out of the pocket to the right. He looks all the way back to the left. There is Redbird running at the end line. He hits him with a perfect pass. Touchdown, West Virginia.
That was my introduction to West Virginia football. Is being a young fan watching Major Harris, because at the time he was so unique, and so really enjoyed getting to spend some time with him, and what a great honor, great honor for one of West Virginia's all time greatest players.
Certainly is one of the greatest of all time, and he will be here in the University City a couple of days leading up to our Saturday showdown with the Oklahoma State Cowboys. The great Major Harris will have number 9 retired, and we look forward to providing you some comprehensive coverage. Let you in on a little secret here on the Mountaineer Insider. We're going to have a big audio feature tipping our hat and homage to Major Harris. We went deep into the vaults for some of that Jack Fleming audio, and all of our folks down at the Learfield Studios in MSN Control, they're putting something together real sweet. Plus, Dale Wolfley going to sit down with the Mage for a one-on-one interview. So we've got a lot of coverage for you at WVUsports.com and, of course, on game day Saturday, where we hang up number 9 onto the facade of Mountaineer Field, and it will be worn no more. So with that, we say good day, good night, however you're listening, whenever you're listening. This is the MSN Insider Podcast. Dan Zang, really glad to have you along. And guess what? 2-0 for the second half of the year for West Virginia, coming off of the terrific victory over Iowa State. Now we turn our attention to the Cowboys. And I think that there's a bounce in the step of everyone walking around in that facility over at the Pushkar Center that, hey, this can be done. The 11th-ranked Cowboys coming to town at 7-1 and 4-1, and they boast one of the best defenses in all the land. They are 7th in the country in total defense. So let's get a scouting report here from Barry Trammell. We're going to talk to Barry. I love having him on the program because he is very much unfiltered, and he gives it to you straight. He's been a longtime columnist for the Oklahoman. I say he and Kirk Bowles of the Austin American-Statesman. They are the two preeminent and most widely respected pundits, voices in the Big 12 Conference. They really have a great feel for what is happening around the league, and they understand not only the teams, in the case of Barry, he's covering OSU and OU and that dynamic there, but of course Oklahoma is really just kind of the center, ground zero, if you will, for the Big 12 Conference. So we're going to talk about a bunch of things, including Oklahoma State's success this year, how they stubbed their toe against Iowa State, and what is the prism outside of the Mountain State? Is it any different than, you know, what we are kind of talking about? I know we feel a lot better about the state of the program sitting at 4-4 than we did a couple of weeks ago. But, you know, West Virginia's slow 2-4 start, I don't think that a lot of folks were completely blown away or up in arms, maybe as much as we were, right? Once you get outside of your own echo chamber, right? I'm guilty of this. You know, things sometimes aren't as good as they always appear to be, and seemingly they're not as going as poorly as you often think that they are when you're experiencing some adverse times. So that's why we bring Barry Trammell in here. He really kind of gives us a steadying is what it is viewpoint. And it's a really good one on the perspective of Neil Brown's program, where they're all at in year three. And I think it's a very sobering perspective that he brings, which we're going to get to that coming up here in just a moment. But first, we remind you folks that, you know, we've all been there late fourth quarter, and all of a sudden, well, we need a refill for something. So then what do? Right? We go to GoPuff. I've told you about GoPuff before, right? You're saying you haven't heard this before? Well, we've been talking about it on the podcast here for the last few weeks. GoPuff is a new delivery app, and anything that you need comes to you in 30 minutes or less. That's right. Snacks, drinks, any of the game day essentials that you need, burgers, buns, party cups, all of it at GoPuff is available at your fingertips. It's an app made for college students by college students, though not exclusive to college students. So they know what you need and when you need it, and they'll get it to you fast. And guess what? Just because you're an MSN Insider listener, you can get $10 off your first two orders if you use the code VARSITY. That's VARSITY at checkout for $10 off your first two orders. Go Puff! And good times here coming up on the Mountaineer Insider. That's going to be a conversation with Barry Trammell coming up next.
It's time to roll out the carpet
and bring on the Mountaineer.
It's time to fire up one of the most electric atmospheres in the country.
One on two, takes it to the bucket. Layup shot, good, and a foul. Gets to Bridges with the shot clock expiring. He hit it for three.
It's time for West Virginia basketball.
Takes the ball toward the basket, pulls up for a jumper in the wind. It is no ball. West Virginia wins it.
Be part of the action at the WVU Coliseum. Tickets are on sale now at WVUgame.com.
Well, Barry, great to have you back on the program. Always good to connect with you. So what is the, I guess, external view of what Neil Brown's got going on right now with West Virginia at 4-4? Obviously, a big win against Iowa State last week. However, a couple of losses on the ledger that have some folks raising their eyebrows. Curious as to, you know, how folks in Oklahoma and around the Big 12 might see West Virginia at this juncture.
Well, that loss, the early season loss to Maryland raised some flags, although it turns out Maryland's okay. They're not a bad team. And then the loss to Texas Tech really sort of set off the alarms that, hey, something's not right in Morgantown, because we sort of know that Texas Tech's not a very good team. But then comes the, you know, the Iowa State game and the TCU game, even more so Iowa State, and you get the idea that, hey, they've sort of got back on their feet. Offense is playing much better. Defense has always been pretty good. So it looks like, you know, I looked it up this morning. In the Power Five, there are 15 teams that are 4-4, ranging from Florida and LSU down to Boston College and Rutgers. So Texas, West Virginia, sort of in that great unwashed of 4-4 teams that are not that far from being having really good seasons. They just, you know, they just stumbled a couple of times when they shouldn't have.
Yeah, no, it's an interesting point, I guess, league-wide that you're bringing up here, Barry. I wonder what the reason for that is, because that's a lot of 4-4 teams and a lot of big brands that you just mentioned that are 4-4. That's kind of worth going down the rabbit hole in some respects, huh?
Yeah, and, you know, I tried to rank them for a little deal I do, and, you know, I've no way of picking those teams out of a pot. I can tell you who's the worst, but just eyeballing it, it looks like West Virginia's on the high side of that. I have them ranked ahead of Texas in my Big 12 rankings. I think they've, you know, they've had a better season than Texas. So it just speaks to that. This is a strange year in college football in that college football is, as much as we love it, as much as we revel in it, as much as we celebrate it, it's got some competition issues in terms of one-sided games, lack of parity, those things. And we've sort of seen that go by the wayside this year. We, you know, I think college football in some ways is more competitive than the NFL this year.
Wow.
In terms of close games. I know Oklahoma State and Oklahoma, you know, their seasons are full of tight fits. And I think West Virginia's part of that. I think it's just, you know, bunch more games than usual come down to the end. If you make a play or two, you win. If you don't make a play or two, you lose. And that's probably what's happened with West Virginia. You guys would know better than I, but I know that's what happened with OSU. OSU's 7-1, and they've really played two games that are comfortable midway through the fourth quarter. So, you know, anything's possible when you get down to tight games.
So about Oklahoma State and the common opponent, obviously, with Iowa State being that particular opponent there, what happened in that Iowa State game to OSU? And I guess what are you maybe anticipating here on Saturday at 3:30, Barry?
Well, I mean, that Iowa State game, Iowa State's a good team. Mountaineers should be very proud of that victory because Iowa State's really got it going. And Iowa State played very well. Brock Purdy had an excellent game against OSU. OSU played well. That was two good games going on. It came down to really one thing. Iowa State tried one field goal and made it. OSU tried two field goals, missed both. And the final score is 24-21. If OSU makes those two field goals and wins 27-24, we've got a different narrative going on. OSU's probably ranked fifth in the country, and, you know, it's a celebration. But I think it was just a great game. If you keep playing tight games, you're going to lose one. That's what happened to the Cowboys. And then the Iowa State goes out to Morgantown, and the little beat up defensively. Mike Rose didn't play. He missed part of the game against OSU, and their defense suffered a little bit. Daigie makes some plays, able to run the ball some. You know, it's a tight league. There's not, you know, even with the Sooners at the top, you know, they're not running over anybody until they play Tech. So I think it's Mike Gundy said this even about Kansas last week, and he said it's going to be a fourth quarter game. Well, Kansas had really played no fourth quarter games until they played Oklahoma, and then you thought, well, maybe they're even getting into the spirit of the thing. No, OSU clocked them.
Right.
I assume. Let's see. The Mountaineers haven't played Kansas, I don't think, yet.
No.
The Mountaineers are going to clock them. They're terrible. Gundy was a little bit wet on that one. But I think he's right on this one. I think it will be a fourth-quarter game. And, you know, the last several times these teams have played, it has been a fourth-quarter game. I think that's what we'll see on Saturday.
Barry, is Oklahoma State, as we sit here today, are they the best team in the Big 12?
Oh, they might be, but you could never pick them over OU because they never hardly ever beat OU. It's one of those things. even if you think Michigan's better than Ohio State, you'd be crazy to pick them. And it's a little bit of that deal. But they've clearly been the most consistent team, I think. They played a very good schedule. You know, they got all the they've got Iowa State, Baylor out of the way. So the teams at the top of the Big 12, except for the Sooners, they've already played. And they've navigated to a 7-1 record. They got a big-time defense. They got the best defense in years and years and years. So their quarterback, Spencer Sanders, has sort of been the lightning rod. If he plays well, they go well. If he plays poorly, they suffer. But he's been playing pretty well. He played well in Ames. He was great against Kansas. So I think you could make the case that OSU has played the best among any team in the Big 12. Now, doesn't mean they're going to beat the Sooners. There seems to be a hex there. We'll see what happens on Thanksgiving Saturday.
Barry Trammell is with us from the Oklahoman. He'll be in Morgantown as the Cowboys and Mountaineers meet at 3:30 at Milam Pushkar Stadium. Barry, you mentioned Spencer Sanders. When he's going well, what is he doing well? When things kind of go off the rails, what is the root cause? Is there any common denominator for Spencer Sanders and him sort of being on again, off again?
Yeah, it all comes down to decision-making on throws. He throughout his career, you know, this is third year to start, and he's done it less this year, but he's, you know, he doesn't always make the best decision on where to pass or when to pass. Baylor, he threw three picks. Oh, yes, you still beat them 24-14, an outstanding victory when you give up three interceptions. But he's done less of that this season. And he's a great scrambler. He's a fiery leader. He's clearly the unquestioned, you know, leader of this team. And when he's throwing well, Cowboys are hard to beat. Now, in his defense, OSU this season, you know, OSU's been a wide receiver factory for years and years and years. Justin Blackmon won two Biletnikoffs. James Washington was a big time threat. Cowboys have always had Tygan Wallace was second in the Biletnikoff. They have big time players. This year, the room is a little less talented. And then early in the season, it got hurt. They went to Boise State. Five receivers, period, including two walk-ons. So he hasn't had the arsenal that he usually has, and that matters. But they're getting more healthy. They're getting guys back, and Sanders is responding. But there's always that fear that he could throw the ball to the other team. So that's one to keep an eye on.
Barry, what about Mike Gundy, the Cowboys, how they've sort of transformed themselves, especially on the defensive side of the ball? They've always been a good defensive team, but it seems as if as the league and the game sort of shifted to almost a defensive-first mindset, and with all the new coaches coming into the league and programs sort of changing their ways, and the old Big 12 run-and-gun air raid offenses just seemingly getting extinguished in a matter of a couple of years, that Gundy was well-prepared and ready for the ever-changing landscape.
Yeah, it's sort of remarkable, and it's a little bit of a shame that OSU didn't combine this great defense with one of its high water offensive years, or that have a national championship contender like they did in 2011. But it's also fortunate that here, when the offense is a little more pedestrian, a little more mundane, they have a championship level defense. He brought in a new defensive coordinator 4 years ago for the 2018 season. Jim Knowles was the Duke. He's David Cutcliffe's coordinator out at Duke, and Gundy fired what was a pretty popular and fairly successful D coordinator, Glenn Spencer. Now, Glenn didn't have the Big 12's best defense, but Cowboys were pretty good by Big 12 standards. To Gundy's credit, he thought they could improve, and danged if they haven't done it. They struggled the first year under Knowles, but the previous 2 years, they've been solid. This year, they're spectacular on defense, and it's a combination of Knowles. His scheme is really good. He's got a lot of the Iowa State stuff that sort of has taken the league by storm, and put the kibosh some on the high flying offenses that we know so well. And the other thing that's really helped is two things with retention. Cowboys had several people who could have went to the NFL, chose not to. I guess they got a good culture. I guess people enjoy playing up there, but they had two or three DBs and linebackers, Malcolm Rodriguez, Colby Harvell, Peel, people like that, who said, I want to play again. And you combine that with COVID and the super senior stuff, OSU's got a bunch of veterans on this team. I mean, they got a bunch. And it's a seasoned group, and it's come together to where they're pretty hard to score against. And they're deep. They've got no superstars on the D line, but they really get after the quarterback, rotating guys in and out. They got veterans in the back end who really cover, and they got a star in the middle in Malcolm Rodriguez. So it's been a exciting change in Stillwater, which OSU known for so long as a big time offensive play. You know, they're winning games 24-14, 21-20. In the old days, they played games in the 40s. The Bedlam games have been 48-47, 61-41, that kind of stuff. Not this year. This year, it's more old-fashioned football.
Speaking of Bedlam, Barry, I haven't had an opportunity to talk to you about, of course, the bombs dropped over the summer with Oklahoma and Texas defecting here to the SEC, and where that sort of leaves Oklahoma State and where that leaves the fan base and what the climate is like there with everything that has gone on, and maybe what the future of this great rivalry is, and West Virginia fans certainly can empathize having lost on a consistent basis when the Big East fell apart, the Pitt rivalry. So what are Oklahoma State fans going through on that front?
Well, there's a couple things. One, on the rivalry front, they're angry. They didn't like the Sooners to start with. They like them less now. The one consensus that you can get out of OSU fans is they're done with Oklahoma. They want Bedlam to die. They want it to go away. West Virginia, of course, I know is the opposite. They would like to play Pitt. But, the problem with OSU and Bedlam is they've been so on the wrong side of a one-sided series. So, you know, they really – they're speaking with their emotions, not with their brains. OSU needs that series to survive financially. If you've got the Sooners on the schedule every other year, that's more attractive to your television contract, Fox or whoever, or Amazon, doesn't matter who. Hey, we've got an Oklahoma game every other year we can market. The box office, it would clearly benefit OSU to keep playing that game, have it part of your season ticket package. OU has said we want to keep playing. I don't know if they're telling the truth. I don't know if you can trust them. It'd be disingenuous to back out now and reverse after you've said you want to. But OSU clearly needs to play OU and keep that series alive.
Yeah,
but apart from just the series, go ahead.
No, I was going to say, it almost sounds kind of defeatist, which kind of surprises me about the OSU fans, that they would want to go it going away, kind of like they're, in some respects, crying uncle. I don't want to misrepresent that, though, Barry.
You're right. It is a defeatist entire experience in Bedlam. I mean, we're talking about, especially in the last 20 years, I mean, OSU's been really good in football.
Sure.
And
sure.
Their percentage against OU is not any better than in the years when they were not any good. It's a frustrating series, and they're talking out of emotion.
Gotcha.
I think it's a series they really want to keep alive. But people just talking. But on the bigger front, and this is something I would tell West Virginians too, and I don't know how you feel in Morgantown, but there's a sense of excitement concerning the new Big 12.
Yep.
Some fresh meat coming into the conference. Some good rivalries could form. A little bit of an opening, or a lot of an opening. You know, the Sooners have won 6 straight Big 12 titles. They dominated earlier this century. If you look at the new Big 12, you're talking about 8, 9, 10 programs that conceivably could say, you know what, we got a chance to win the Big 12 in year one.
Yeah.
in year two, we can make some hay in this new league.
No doubt. I think that that's certainly the consensus of our administration. I talk to our president, Gordon Gee, basically every week, and he's shared much of that same optimism as well. And I would say, and my sales pitch would be, if I was like Bob Bowlsby's PR guy, Barry, that, you know, what's the sense? And I understand money and millions of dollars in the SEC. However, your pathway, especially with an expanded college football playoff, is much more attainable to get to that level here in the Big 12, which I see no reason why they wouldn't retain some sort of power conference status to be granted, you know, slot or slots in that expanded college football playoff. I mean, the Big 12, I would say, is where you want to be because it really does have a pretty good national footprint and a lot of eyeballs with some incredible alumni bases. And I don't know. I think I agree with you wholeheartedly. It's a good spot to be in.
And, well, here's what I would say about the Big 12. You know, when this first happened, everyone was worried the Big 12 is going to fall apart. The American, for crying out loud, is going to pick apart the Big 12. Well, the opposite has been true. The Big 12 status, excluding OU and Texas, the future Big 12, that Big 12, that status right now is ahead of the Pac-12 and the ACC.
That's a great point.
Look at the college football rankings last night.
Yep.
Four of the top 15 teams are future Big 12 members. BYU, yep. Cincinnati, OSU, and Baylor.
Yep, you're 100% right. I mean, it's exciting times for sure, and I'm really looking forward to it because
the problem, there's one problem, and that's the finance. I mean, with the new television contract coming up, you don't know how that's – it's a fearful time if you're running an athletic department because you're not assured of having the same kind of financial clout that you did previously. You might take a budgetary haircut. Nobody wants to do that. Those are difficult times. But if you take that away, the rest of it is, to me, is very promising.
Yeah, no, I agree. Well, Barry, appreciate you bringing it, as you always do, and we look forward to hosting you here at the University City on Saturday. Hey, the fall foliage is absolutely exquisite. You're coming up at the perfect time this year, so enjoy the rolling hills on your drive down from the Pittsburgh International Airport.
Fantastic. I look forward to it.
All right, Barry, be good. We'll catch up with you on Saturday.
Yep.
You've been listening to the Mountaineer Insider here on MSN, the Mountaineer Sports Network. Like the podcast? Give us 5 stars or leave a review. Be sure to follow us on Twitter at WVUMSN or find the latest news and information on the Mountaineers at WVUSports.com. The preceding has been a Learfield presentation of MSN, the Mountaineer Sports Network.